talk about being real disciples. And the reason that I titled it Real Disciples is because there's many disciples that aren't like us. They aren't like the disciples in the book of Acts, and they're not like the real disciples of today who are doing their best to walk the walk for our Lord. Now, the thing about fake disciples and false prophets is that they bring with them a false doctrine. And what does the Bible say about any other gospel other than the gospel of Jesus Christ? Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 through 9, the New King James Version, it says, "But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed." And in fact, I want to read this from a few different versions to punctuate my point. The Amplified Version says, "But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to and different from that which we have preached to you, let him be accursed." I have been practicing this word all night. And I said I was going to, you know how you put the words in and say, how do you pronounce this word? Who, say it again. Yeah, but say it one more time. What pastor said? Devoted to destruction, doomed to eternal punishment. Verse number 9, "As we said before, so I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel different from or contrary to that which you received from us, let him be accursed." Sonia. Devoted to destruction, doomed to eternal punishment. And I was saying it so good when I was listening to it on the computer. But that word, it means, get this, a curse, a solemn condemnation, or something set apart for destruction. Do you hear me, beloved? Anything that is contrary to and different from that which we, me, Sonia, John, Miriam, Wilma, is teaching you, let them be accursed. The last version that I want to share of this verse is in the Message version, and I want to share it, this version with you because it really pushes a point that's major. The Message Bible says, let me be blunt. if one of us, even if an angel from heaven, were to preach something other than what we have preached originally, let him be cursed. I said it once and I'll say it again. If anyone, catch this, this is the hit. If anyone, regardless of reputation or credentials, preaches something other than what you received originally, let him be accursed. Beloved, peep this. If anyone, regardless of reputation, or credentials preaches something other than what you received originally, let him be cursed. And that version of that verse is so necessary today because we have celebrity preachers and singers who are operating in the mold of false prophets, and they are pushing a different gospel. And let me just go ahead and be very clear. I don't care how many platinum records you have. And I don't care how many people you have in your church. And I don't care what type of social media following you have. If they are preaching anything that you received originally, Lord, have mercy. Let them be cursed. And this is important because all you have to do is lock in on the internet and you see the so-called elect being crazy again. Huh? We have gospel artists. You know it's bad when a comedian comes on your podcast, a comedian with all types of language will come on your podcast and you will serve him something for his thirst, and he has to say, the comedian who's in the world is at the preacher's house. And he says, and he tasted and he says, oh, what is this? Is this liquor? And the preacher says, the preacher slash singer says, yeah, it is. And then he looks at his whoever is working for him and says, get him something non-alcoholic. The preacher said that. The comedian said, I need what y'all give the kids in children's church. Huh? The preacher with a national base. We done, every, it's a good chance, everybody in here done stomped to one of his records. You understand what I'm saying to you? And he said, yes, liquor. He was surprised that the cat in the world didn't drink. But isn't it crazy that the cat that's in the world was surprised that the preacher drank? We got preachers walking around pulpits, men in women's clothes and high heel boots, and they got mega churches, thousands upon thousands of members. But I, and so when I think about, and that's why I'm funny now. We actually getting ready to take a whole lot of songs out of the rotation of the praise team simply because I'm afraid of the spirit that they was in when they wrote it. And don't you get it twisted, baby. Just about a month and a half ago, AI had the number one Christian song on the airwaves. AI. Something without a soul had crept to the top of the charts in contemporary Christianity music. And it ain't no different with gospel. It might be worse. So we gonna be focused about what we sing. Sung one of them today that we'll never sing again. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And folk don't know, and that's okay. But it's our job to sound the alarm. That there is another gospel being preached. And that gospel is you can be lukewarm and still make it in. As long as you popular, you're right. As long as you're rich, you're right. And again, I'm gonna say it. I don't care how many platinum records you have. I don't care how many people you have in your church. And I don't care what type of social media following you have. The Bible says in Proverbs 15 and 8, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. But the prayer of who? The upright is his delight. Isaiah chapter 1, verses 11 through 13 says, what to me is the multitude of your sacrifices, says the Lord. He said, what is that to me? I have had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of well-fed beasts. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or of goats. When you come to appear before me, who has required of you this trampling of my courts? Bring no more. Listen to this. Listen to this. Bring no more vain offerings. Incense is an abomination to me. Let's go back and look at that thing. Verse number 13. Bring no more vain offerings. Incense is an abomination to me. Watch this. Vain offerings. Here's the definition for vain offerings. Write this down and take a picture of it on the screen. It is an offering that is empty, hollow, or useless because it comes from a hypocritical heart, not from sincere repentance or true faith. So God is saying to a whole lot of these so-called saved folk, you know, to a whole lot of these praise and worship teams, to a whole lot of these preachers, you keep that hollow, useless, empty, hollow mess that you're singing, preaching, and teaching, because it ain't real and it ain't for me. Lord have mercy. It's not from true faith, but it's from a faith that you have in you. It's from a faith that you have in you, who you are, and more so about what you're about. And God says, you keep that. Don't bring no more of that to me. Listen, let me tell you something, beloved. I remember a time in the old church when we had a little tone deaf girl. She sang and it hurt. But it was one thing about her, she was saved. And she loved God. And I remember one night that she was singing, and Darren was playing the keyboard, and she was singing, and a drunk came in off the street and said, I was walking by and I heard that voice. We had to stop the service, drive across town because we didn't have a baptismal site there, drive across town and baptize this man because he said, I'm not leaving here not saved. Can I get that mic? I got a lot of feedback going on.
Now I need you. Okay, thank you. Yeah, tone deaf little girl. Love God like crazy. See, I want you to understand and this is where we want to get this ministry, and I'm not saying that we aren't, but it needs to be something that is a constant. The praying should have the power to get you delivered. The praise and worship team, when not because they sound so good, but because of the doxa glory that jumps off of their lives into the congregation, and something ought to happen every time somebody touches the microphone. Let me just go ahead and say this real quick, and I wish everybody was here so everybody could get it. Don't hit the floor no more. And don't touch God on the way. Because if it's to the point to where, you know, you got to hit the floor, that means that something touched you. And it shouldn't be the power of me. You understand what I'm saying to you today? It shouldn't be the power of me. You come to the altar. Thank you. You come to the altar to be altered. Nothing should be the same when you leave the altar. Nothing should be the same when we have these moments where we fall out. Nothing should be the same because what you're saying by losing all bodily control is that something took over you. Oh, God. Let me just stick with the notes because I'm tired and we're going to get out of here. God says, don't bring no more vain offerings. Huh? Don't be sleeping around last night and come sing to me this morning. Huh? Don't have had 2-3 drinks last night. Didn't think you're gonna come in this pulpit and preach the word of God. Amen. God said that ain't real and it ain't for me. It's not from a true faith. So don't bring that to me. But beloved, listen to what Jesus said in the book of John, chapter 4, verse number 23. He said, but the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. So we see where he says, keep the fake worship away from me. That worship that comes from an unrepentant heart. But what I do desire is true worshipers. See, he tells you what he don't want, and then he tells you what he does. He says, but what I desire is true worshipers who worship the Father in spirit and in truth. That's what he's looking for, beloved. People who declare boldly. He's looking for people who declare boldly and mean it when they recite Romans chapter 14, verse number 8. If we live, it's to honor the Lord. If we die, it's to honor the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. Now get this. I want you to catch this because this is deep. So that's a strong statement, isn't it? That's a very powerful statement. If we live, it's to honor the Lord. So if my being, if my living, if my existence is all about bringing glory to God, is all about honoring God, then it stopped being about me a long time ago. This is the problem in the 21st century westernized Christian church is that it ain't stopped being about us yet. That's why when we you ever notice when you had anybody ever been to a ball game? Just I tell you what, whatever is your favorite thing to be at, when you get to whatever is your favorite thing to be at, one thing you never do is look at your watch. You're not pressed about the time. You don't care how the time is passing by because you're doing what you want to do. Isn't it funny how we can come into the house of the Lord? And if it looked like Pastor might be long-winded, let me tell you something. We added a fourth song to the praise team, and I saw folk lose their mind. Another song? Last week, we did 3 songs, and I seen people go, whew. That's 4 more minutes. We ain't got to sit here. Yeah. Yeah. See, but do you remember the old church? when we came in, Sonia, at 11 o'clock, you understand what I'm saying to you? And we might leave about 4. You understand what I'm saying to you? And when I say we might leave, everybody didn't leave at 4. Huh? And what would happen is about 5:30, somebody would call back and say, where y'all at? And we'd be like, we still at the church. And then all of a sudden, all the cars would pull back up because we lived to honor him. You see what I'm saying to you? And I don't know, call me crazy, but life ain't been the same. Run around here with. Wish you would put a clock on me. I defy it on purpose. I wouldn't start till when y'all thought we ought to finish. Yeah. It ain't for that. It ain't. Now let's talk about real quickly what a disciple is, and I like this definition that I found. It says, and it ain't gonna be on the screens, and I'm sorry, but it says this: a disciple is a learner or follower. Lisa, I'm gonna tell you now, you might as well quit trying to write this. It's way too long. She was over like, you great, get all types of carpal tunnel messing with me. Just go back and listen to the video, amen. A disciple is a learner or follower who commits to and imitates the teachings of a master. Specifically for Christians, a disciple is a follower of Jesus Christ who is committed. Somebody say committed. Committed to learning from and becoming like him by following his teachers, embodying his values, and participating in his mission. That's powerful right there. Not only are you to imitate him, not only are you to learn of his ways, but you are to be participating in his mission. Watch this. Here's the rest of it. This involves, and this is a very important part, this involves more than just belief. It is a lifelong process of transformation, obedience, and actively sharing the Christian message with others. Notice in the definition it says that this involves more than just belief. Did you catch that? More than just belief. Because I need you to understand, watch this, that you can be a believer but not be a disciple. Yeah. I know you thought you was good because you show up every Sunday. But you can be a believer and not a disciple. See, a believer accepts a set of beliefs while a disciple actively lives them out by following and learning from our teacher. A believer, watch this, a believer typically focuses on faith and salvation, whereas a disciple commits to a deeper lifestyle of obedience, sacrifice, and growth, embodying the teachings in their daily life. All disciples, watch this, all disciples are believers, but not all believers are disciples. Oh, Lord. And can I take it deeper? And not all believers, watch this, become disciples. Yeah. And you got to know who's who in this Christian war, in this spiritual war. You got to know, I see, because I don't need to be going through the hell of my life. I don't need Satan hitting me on every side and I turn to you and find out that you was just a believer. See, watch this. Come here, baby. Come fast, Shawty. You young. Let's go. I'm belief and she's I'm belief and she's a disciple. And so every now and again in the life of both, Lord have mercy, hell gonna happen. There's gonna be attacks on every side. There's gonna be things that make you wanna quit, throw in the towel, lift up both of your hands and just make you wanna holler. You understand what I'm saying to you? And I'm belief, but she is what are you? I'm so tired. She is a disciple. Now watch this. As all the hell is hitting, come on. As all the hell, just keep walking. Keep walking until I tell you not to. As all the hell is coming up against us, keep walking until I tell you not to. As all, see, belief can only go so far. But disciples, Lord, have mercy, can make it through the storms. Disciples can go through the hills and the valleys. Disciples never mind what comes up against the disciple. They are built to endure it. And not only are they built to endure it, we endure it till the end. Thank you. They not like us. Huh? They not believers not like us. And I ain't knocking if that's where you are right now. But if you're going to be a part of this ministry, you understand what I'm saying to you? There is a kingdom expectation that you graduate from believer to disciple. You understand what I'm saying to you? Let me make it even more plain. I know. Somebody say, I know. Okay. I know that eating healthy is good for me. I believe that. I know eating healthy is good for me. I believe it. I ain't never had no problems believing it. The evidence is all around me when I look at people who eat healthy, right? But because I believe it, watch this, and I have studied deeply on the benefits of eating healthy, I know it's true, but I still don't do it. That's the deal with a lot of people we see all the time that go to church. They have studied enough to know the word of God is not just right, but it's real. It's real and it's right. They have seen the word of God play out before their eyes, but still don't embrace Christ in his fullness. Do you see what I'm saying? And I think where we mess up or get it confused is because we believe the Bible, we think that's enough. Let me show you something in Scripture. This in Matthew 7, verses 21 through 24, we hear Jesus say, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall inherit the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me, catch this part right here. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Now, all of you that's been here a while, you've heard me quote those verses, many times. But today I want to teach it from a different perspective to make my point. I'm not going to change the scriptures because that would be sin. But I got a different perspective. You understand what I'm saying to you? Notice Jesus says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? Well, if they prophesied, casted out demons, and did many wonders in his name, well, doesn't that mean that they first had to believe that there was power in his name to be able to do it? Why would they have even done it in his name if they didn't at least believe? Oh God. But Jesus clearly says, just because you were able to do that doesn't mean that you're with me. I can learn. Watch this. Even teach. Kevin has been on the other side of my teachings when I talk about calorie deficit. I remember a time sitting in the office and I'm telling him, 10,000 steps, you lose a pound. And if you walk 10,000 steps, you automatically lose a pound. And if you do that, and Kevin's sitting here looking at me like, but you're not losing weight. And I'm telling them, so you keep your calories down to, at that time I was on some deranged 1500 calorie diet, and he was just, and I said, so you know, I'm walking the 10,000, I done doubled to 10,000, I'm doing 20,000 steps a day, I'm only eating 1500 calories, and whoop-de-whoop-de-whoop, and Kevin's going, but you're not losing weight, right? I can learn it and teach about healthy eating, and watch this, like you can teach, preach, I'd be a part of the healthy eating community. Just like you can teach, preach, sing, pray, all of that, Jesus, but not be a disciple. Real quickly, and we're done. We're going to go over a few points that are consistent with the life of a real disciple. Number one, putting Jesus first in all things. Putting Jesus first in all things. Mark chapter 8, verses 34 through 38 says, when he had called the people to himself with his disciples also, he said to them, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my name's sake, for my sake and the gospel's, will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Did you catch that? This ain't about you no more. And this is why there's such a struggle in westernized Christianity, because I want to pray, but my show's on. Huh? I know we've been saying we're going to have Bible study, but I'm tired. You see what I'm saying to you? I was raised by a little old Baptist lady that didn't play about church, and her thing was, she used to tell the members, not just the kids, she would tell the members, did you go to work all week? Yeah. Then you ought to be in church on Sunday. Don't nobody want to hear that. Bible study on Wednesday nights, was every Wednesday night at Progressive Baptist Church. And my grandmother made it a point. She would call people and say, didn't see your Bible study tonight. And they said, yeah, well, I worked and I was just tired. But you went to work, but you couldn't come to the house of the Lord. Now you can't come bless the one who blessed you with the job. You understand? See, I'm done playing. I'm just go ahead and say what's on my mind. I'm always blown away by people who say stuff like, well, we can't come to Wednesday night service because, the kids got to be at school tomorrow. If you don't stop playing with me, huh? We out of here at 8 o'clock. Huh? What do we say? Well, I got to cook for them, put them in the bath. We said this. You remember we put this out? We put it out there on the Facebook page and said, what if we cook for you on Wednesday nights? Could you make it to Bible study? Then all you got to do is wash your kids up and put them on in the bed, right? If it's all that serious, right? You ain't going to get no gourmet meal, but you wasn't going to cook one either on Wednesday night. So stop acting silly. What? Huh? We do what's important to us. And I want you to understand this, beloved, because God be like, Nicholas and family, y'all live too far away. That's totally understandable. You understand what I'm saying to you? But some of y'all, right around the corner action. Huh? Online. Okay, you shouldn't have did that. Thank you, Nicholas. Let's talk about that. Oh, let's talk about that. So if you ain't going to come to Bible study on Wednesday,
We put it online. And here's the thing. No excuse, Willie said. Listen, and here's the hit. I know my church. And so I said, put it on our Facebook family page. That way we can really see who be watching when they don't show up. But then you jokers got slick. And you figured out you could get on there and say amen and heart it or like it and then get off. And for all we know, who can say you wasn't there the whole time? Because I ain't got no way of figuring that part out yet. Yeah. Y'all didn't think I knew y'all. Some of y'all did that, did you? Huh? It's some people on there been on there today. Ain't on there right now. They started with us. Yep, this is about long enough. Let me put a praise the Lord right here. And I'm out. Yeah. Oh, let me stop. Let me just. So, Lord, have mercy. But listen, beloved, and I laugh because, you know, you always give the baby something sweet with the medicine. But listen, you're in the world. One time we had this number down. You remember that, Shan? We were talking about, you know, people in the church, maybe 4 hours a week, maybe. If you come to Bible study and you come to Sunday school, you make it to church maybe 4 hours a week. There's 24 hours in a day. Somebody multiply 24 by 7. Yeah. Somebody give me that. 164 other hours you are dealing with the world. And 4, if you come to Bible study and make it to Sunday school, 4 hours you're in the house of the Lord. And here's the hit. And some of us feel like that's too much. Some of us feel like that's too much. So some of us don't make the Bible studies and, you know, or doesn't watch them online and still feels like he preached too long. 164 hours. You take away 40 hours of that for sleep, right? If you're lucky enough to get 8 hours of sleep, so 156 hours with the world. And we trying to figure out a way to shorten church. But we're also trying to figure out why it ain't working for us. You have to, for this right here, I'm sorry for whoever lied to you, but this right here, you have to sacrifice you. And you shouldn't have a problem with it because he sacrificed himself. You see what I'm saying? And you, the Bible says, you have not resisted to bloodshed. You ain't going through nothing having to come to church. Huh? It ain't killing you to come to church. The disciples of Christ, watch this, I want you to catch this. The disciples of Christ needs to be set apart from the world. Our focus should be on our Lord and how to please him in every area of our lives. And we must put off self-centeredness and put on Christ-centeredness. Now get this. So when I say something like that, I heard it in the spirit realm. But that ain't fun. Hell ain't fun. And I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just being real. I don't know any real believer, or any real disciple that will tell you they don't love their life. We love our lives. Because we see, and the reason why you're more pressed about fun than crossing over, right, is because you don't know the book. See, because the book is full of promises, that we can stand on that makes this life worth living. You know, when you just say something like peace that surpasses all understanding, I don't care how much money you make, take away your peace. Take your peace away. See how that money do you then. I don't care how much money you make. Get a terminal illness and see how much that money. Steve Jobs had more money than a little bit and bought the best doctors and could not. He could not find peace, nor could he keep his life. So stop believing Satan about, you know, if I devote my life to God in every area of my life, then I don't know. Oh boy, I got one to say, but I don't. Jesus, okay. Somebody says, say it, Bishop. I'm gonna say it. Huh? I'm trying to clean it up. Okay. Listen. Let me just talk, because I'm gonna tell you who struggles with this a lot. Married people struggle with this too, but single people really struggle with this, right? And here's the thing: the single people trying to be in church, but they're given over in certain areas of their life to a worldly system, right? So, Sonia, you and Benny been married how long? 38 years. Now, how many single women want to be married? Just put your hands in there. Let me just tell the truth, shame the devil. All right, you want to be married? Okay. And how many of you want to be able to say, we 38 years in and strong, going strong, right? Right? But there are sacrifices. The Bible says, I will withhold no good thing from those that walk uprightly. Maybe if we wasn't, and I'm not saying anybody in here is, I don't know, but I will say this. But how many of us in here has went for relationship, not God's way? And looked at maybe a Sonia and said something like, she's so holy. But she's been married 38 years. She's so holy. But she's at peace. She's so holy. But she has joy. Right? See, don't get mad at the person that's got the discipline that will deliver them to the promises of God. Right? Yeah. I can feel steam in the room. Let me go on. The second thing that we've got to do is be following the Messiah's teachings. John 8:31-32. I tell, hey boy, I'm going to preach a singles conference one time. Boy, listen, John 8:31-32. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Okay, let's take it deeper. Can we take it deeper, single people? Even married people know this. Let's take it deeper. I remember before I was married, I wanted to be married. But I didn't want to be married God's way. I mean, I was cool with God's way, but I'm going to do it my way until God's way kicks in, right? Now, anybody know what I'm talking about with that type of mindset? But it's a bondage, isn't it? Let me tell you something. Relationship after relationship after relationship, simply because you're not listening to the word of God, simply because you're not abiding in the teachings of God, simply because you are not following the teachings of God, that is bondage. Do y'all hear me? And I'm not saying this to call or make anybody feel any type of way. What I'm trying to do is I'm giving you a key to unlock the prison. To unlock the prison door. Hold on, what you saying, Pastor? All I got to do is do it the way he says do it, and it all, yeah, that is a promise. Amen. I will withhold no good thing from those that walk uprightly. If you do it the way I say do it, you can have what you desire.
So young people, don't be so caught up in, I got to have somebody. No, you've got to have Jesus.
And what does the Bible say? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, then all these things shall be added to you. Right? And so he says, look here, look for God first and his righteousness first. And then you get all that comes with the righteousness of the Lord. Ah, Lord, have mercy. This is, and here's the thing. People will get upset about this teaching, right? But the reality is Satan wants you to get upset because Satan don't want you to know this game. So because if you understand this wisdom right here, you sit back and be like, you know what? I ain't got to lose nothing, but I can gain everything. Huh? This is, whew, Lord. We must be obedient children and doers of the word. Obedience is the supreme test of faith in God. Listen, obedience is the greatest test about your faith in God. Will you do what God says do and how God says do it when the heat is on? But Jesus said in John 14 and 21, whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. Jesus is also the perfect example of obedience as he lived a life on earth of complete obedience to the Father, even to the point of death. Third, we're almost done, I promise, bearing fruit. John 15, 5 through 8, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Do y'all hear that? Single people and married people alike. Because married people get married and then forget what it was like to be single. Oh, y'all got quiet now. Oh, it was everybody was a whole bunch of amens when I was talking to the single people. But now all the married people won't get quiet. Oh, I can't stand a married couple that act like they don't remember. I don't know why they doing that. Well, you do. You did it. Sure you do. I don't know why she don't leave him alone. Well, why didn't you leave such and such alone before you met the one that you met? Huh? Get saved and get cute. Oh, y'all thought I was tripping. Y'all thought I was like really after the single people. No. Let me tell you why marriages go bad. Because the marriage was the God. Here's the thing. I told my wife, she'll tell you this. I said, don't you lose yourself fooling with me. You better stay who you are, because I can be a whole trip. You better stay who you are. You understand? And so you ever notice? Let me just bless y'all. God, I'm gonna do a singles conference one day. But here's what married people do: they get married, right? And then they don't come to church no more. It's all about you just mad because I'm married. No, I'm mad because you're stupid. So we get married, right? And I'm gonna go ahead and say this, ladies, because y'all are really the ones that's guilty of it. I'm not gonna lie. And that man becomes your God. Oh, you stop it. You've told me stories. Nicholas, are y'all cooking? Because I got an idea. I'm not gonna be eating today. Somebody, you invite me over, bro. I need some help. So somebody was supposed to stop me right there. That wasn't supposed to be. Listen, check this out. It was explained to me like this, and it was powerful. Say you got two scuba divers, and they jump in the water, right? And they got both of them got the same tank. But all of a sudden, the one scuba diver, he takes off. He doesn't stay with the lady scuba diver. And what happens is she loses her mind because she forgets she's got a tank too. But because she has made her whole life about him instead of about God. Let me ask you this question. Let me ask you a question. How many of you women in here want a man that's going to love you more than anything? Just go and tell the truth. Well, you don't want no godly man. if you want a man that's going to love you more than anything, that means that you want a man that's going to love you more than God. If I love you more than I love God, you got problems. Huh? Because it's my love in God that don't allow me to hurt you. It's my love for God. But if I love you more than I love God, you got to take what come with that. Listen, I'm just going to go on to the fourth point, and I'm... I'm on the third one. The third one is bearing fruit. I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Listen, I don't care how dope your mate is. Without God, you can't make it. You hear me? I don't care how good your job is. Without God, you can't make it. I don't care how many doctorates you obtained in your life. Without God, you can do nothing. Now, peep this. Imagine, look at the grace of God. Look at the love of God and how many things that we don't give him credit for, but he still allows us to maintain. He allows you to maintain your home. He allows you to maintain your children. And a lot of times we do this without giving God the glory. Right? All right, let's I'm speeding through this. Number four, a mark of a disciple is they love other disciples. Can I just be real? Joel, how do you say your last name? Because I always mess it up. Carabello. I'm going to go ahead and say this. The Carabello family has come in here and taught love. Huh? I'm talking about, you see it, whatever it's an anniversary, whatever it's a homegoing service, whatever it is. I mean, I sat back and I just be like, and you know, hey, yo, we need this for this. And everybody just boom, boom, boom. I mean, just tireless showing love. Amen. Amen. The roads just come in and Glenda's on our phone. How are you guys doing? Do you need anything? I mean, just come in and show love. Listen, and that's how we know we disciples, right? Because we love each other. Watch this. And sometimes love will get on your nerves. Huh? Just like I told Tiana, make sure you call me tonight because I want to make sure you're okay. She didn't call, but I ain't tripping. I ain't even going to bring it up. I ain't going to bring it up. I ain't petty. Not me, JC. I'm not going to bring it up. Fifth. Okay, here's the fifth and last one, okay? You know the mark of a disciple because they make other disciples. And that's what we're going to start working on, especially in 26. We're really going to be working hard on being discipled and then making disciples. Each one teach one. You dig what I'm saying? You know, one soul at a time. You feel me? And so it's not enough for you to come to church and hear a word and go home and you know, no, baby. We got to wolf-proof you. We got to bulletproof you. We got to Satan-proof you. And then what you do with that is you don't keep it to yourself. You go out and you disciple some other people that don't know about the goodness of God. Amen? All right. One of the last things that Jesus said before his ascension, he gave a command. Go and make disciples of all nations. Huh? Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of age. Listen, he says, listen to this. He says, I want you to do everything that I taught you. And it's going to be hard sometimes, but don't trip. I'm with you. When they leave, I'm here. When they get funny style because of your salvation, And if you be saved long enough, you'll realize there's some people that will get funny about you being saved. God says, don't trip about that. I'm here with you. Amen? Amen. So, real quickly, we are going to put Jesus before all things, follow Jesus' teachings, be fruitful, bear fruit, love each other, and make disciples out of others. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.